This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody's doing all right. Got a little wet out there last night. Seems like it's okay now, but I know we're gearing up for what might be worse later. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. If you're out there listening, make sure you're safe and everything like that. And, slow down and all that other good stuff. Make sure you get to your destination. But yeah, it's kids out of school. Well, digital day, no school tomorrow for my children. I don't know how it is everywhere else. But then you got, like you were saying, a big weekend of sports coming up. Obviously, we talked the possibilities of this Braves moving of the games to Monday. We were talking, so obviously that has happened.
It's happened.
And, it's always crazy because now you're in a situation because you still have to win. Like, even if you beat the Mets this weekend, you probably still had to win most of these games against the Royals.
Definitely. Now it's flipped. Now you have to win these games against the Royals first in order to make sure that those games against the Mets mean a whole bunch. Now, I guess there's a chance that they couldn't if the Diamondbacks fall flat on their face, which they've been playing bad. Now, they won last night. But the reason this is as tight as it is the Diamondbacks just haven't been playing well the last couple of weeks. But you can't think about it that way.
No.
You can't be going into it like that. No. And like they were talking about, the Brewers aren't going to be, they're in, so they're not doing anything. Like, they can rest their bullpen, they can do their starting rotation however they want. Obviously, they're going to have their lineup out there to keep guys sharp, but they might not win these games, you know what I mean? So, you got to handle your business against the Royals. You got to treat Fred. Snit said it after the game Tuesday, or maybe it was before the game Tuesday. Every game's a game seven.
Yeah.
Like, as fun as it is for us to be doing all these scenarios of like, well, maybe you could do this, or maybe if you handle this like that. Like, nah, man. Chris Sale's got pitched tomorrow.
Yep.
He was supposed to pitch last night. The game got canceled. The game's not going to happen today. He's got pitched tomorrow. He's your best pitcher. You got to win that game. Max Fried has to pitch Saturday. Then Charlie Morton pitches Sunday. Hopefully you sweep the Royals, and then you have an opportunity on Monday to maybe you win one of them and you're in. Maybe you got to win both of them. Depends on how it goes. But, it sucks that this is the way that it happened, because you would have much preferred to just play last night, tonight, and have everything sort of be on schedule.
But
it didn't. And now you got to make the best of it. Again, you got to beat the Royals first, and then there's some benefits to it. Like, you might have Ronaldo Lopez back.
Yeah, I mean, they said he's getting cleared, basically, with what I saw it read this morning right there. So that gives you another option as far as starting pitching. And we were talking about it on Off the Cuff. Like, last time he went through this, he came out, game we were at.
Yeah, 10 strikeouts.
And pitched his butt off.
Phenomenal.
And so I'm not going to say that's again. I need that to happen again.
Hopefully.
I need that to happen again. But I think, when you look collectively, they just, it's empty in the tank. It really, really is. It's like one of those things where all hands on deck. And if you're tired, suck it the hell up, because we need everybody to get to where they want to go. And they're right there, Andy.
Well,
they're so close, but yet far. You know what I mean? It's right there.
They control it.
Yes.
That's the good part of it, is it's in their control. And again, if you want to look at these last couple days as a positive, all these pitchers who've been going out there every 5 days, 6 days in some cases, getting a couple extra days of rest.
Yeah.
I mean, Sale was going to be on extra rest last night had he pitched. Now he's going to be on a couple of extra days of rest tomorrow when he goes. That's great for a guy who's his age, who's pitching this many innings for the first time in a while. Same thing with Max. It's nice to get a little bit of extra rest. Like we said, you might have Ronaldo Lopez. He will be available. You might have him back. Downside is, they might have Francisco Lindor back on Monday
as
well.
He's their best player.
He probably wasn't going to play last night. Most likely wasn't going to play tonight.
What's wrong with
the rain? He hurt his back.
Okay.
Tweaked his back. But they didn't put him on the IL because it didn't seem like it was going to be a long-term thing. He was going to be back for the playoffs most likely. Well, the playoffs start Tuesday.
Right.
So Monday's pretty close to that.
Monday's go time.
So he's probably going to play in the doubleheader on Monday. But the good news for the Braves is now the Mets got to go. They got to get on an airplane, travel, and then they got to come back and get ready for a doubleheader on Monday. So from a rest perspective, the Braves have the upper hand on this one.
Yeah, so, and I know that y'all were talking about it. We were talking about, well, why don't we move venues and all that. Hell no.
No,
I'm good on that, bro.
People like Bo need to make money.
Yeah,
so.
Man. Yeah. And I'm sure that was in there. What about our damn employees that work here, all right?
Yeah, this is, obviously, and Bo knows this, that's not why they made the decision. it's good for Bo that those games are going to...
In a roundabout way,
it is because they make money off that.
Provide.
Exactly. They make a percentage of every dollar Bo gets. They get a percentage of it, right?
Yes.
So they want all of that.
Yes.
Two home games against the Mets.
You know how much bread that
those
is?
Those are sellouts,
and it's going to be nice, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be nice on Monday.
You're not giving up two sellouts.
It's going to be nice. But the first thing is first, all right, we know what Monday is. You got to take care of this boot. You got to take care of the Royals. That's the biggest thing right now. And they're also in a situation where they're fighting for something also.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's going to be – you're going to have to empty it out to get to the Mets. You know, meaning, like, you can't be like, okay, we got to preserve this for the Mets series. No, you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to trust guys – maybe Charlie, maybe Ronaldo.
Charlie's been really good.
Yeah, you're going to have to trust these guys in what could be a season-defining doubleheader. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know Schnitt trusts them, and we understand that and everything, but they're going to have to go. We've already talked about the past couple weeks, these guys with them bats in their hands, they got to keep it going. Mm-hmm. And the guys.
That's the part that sucks, is these guys were just kind of starting to heat up.
And you don't want to have that time off.
For like a week.
Right.
And now 2 days off. Like, Michael Harris is batting .600 the last week.
Well, I'll say rest helps them, too.
I hope so. I hope that's what it is. Just like, I don't want to take the bat out of his hand at all. Get him back out there leading off every single
night. Bat, Mike.
2 days off, no thank you. Ozzy was doing pretty good. Like, everybody was having sort of coming around a little bit the last week, which is all you need. Like, at this point, get hot now, stay hot, and we'll forget the summer, you know?
Right.
We'll call it good.
Are we all good? All things are forgiven? Everything's forgiven.
Absolutely.
You know, you got it.
Nobody ever talks about the fact that the 2021 team didn't get over .500 until what? The end of August?
Yep.
No, because they won the World Series.
That's all that matters.
No one cares.
That's all that matters,
exactly.
Man.
If this team somehow gets hot and goes on a run and wins the World Series, nobody's going to talk about how awful it was watching
We're going to talk about the adversity that they came through. And that's going to be the topic.
Yeah,
but
it'll be everyone's geniuses.
It's going to be happy, and Alex is a genius, and Snitch, the best manager ever.
Exactly.
All those different things. I'm here for that.
That's what I want.
I'm here for that.
That's what I want.
But they got to take care of business.
Yeah, right. They got to beat the Royals first.
Beat the Royals, man.
And sweep them. You got to sweep them.
Yeah, ain't no, they won this.
Because if they lose a game and all the other things break against you, you might be screwed on Monday.
Ain't no, but they won the series. No. but they won the series. No. They need to win all these games.
Yeah, because, again, until you play the Mets, like, everything that happens around you, you're still on the outside looking in, mm-hmm. right? The Diamondbacks won last night. Would have been great if they would have lost. You would have been tied with them. We're a half a game behind them. They won last night, so you're a game behind the Diamondbacks, a game behind the Mets. The Padres are kind of out of sight, out of mind. Certainly for the Braves, they are. And it is what it is. But you gotta take care of these next three games at home first. And we were talking yesterday about how if this were to happen, which we kind of knew it was going to happen with the games getting canceled, they didn't get canceled until kind of late in the afternoon yesterday. But if it were to happen, how would you go about the pitching rotation? Now you just keep it the same.
Yeah, like, might as well.
Sale goes tomorrow. And then here's the other thing, too, with that is you have, because Snit has to be thinking about this. Sale goes tomorrow, pitches well, then they handle their business, then he's ready to go Tuesday.
Yes.
For the wild card round. So, I mean, he's on normal rest.
I got a question for you, because Schwarber pitched Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Would he not be ready Monday?
He'd be ready Monday.
Okay. That's what I was just,
he pitched Tuesday.
Yes. Oh, no, he pitched Tuesday. So if they needed him to go Tuesday.
He's ready Sunday if
they need him to go this weekend, he can go.
Yeah.
Either Sunday or the doubleheader.
I would guess they'd probably use him game one of the doubleheader.
Okay.
Because then you have Charlie Morton on normal rest on Sunday. Well, extra rest on Sunday. Freed extra rest on Saturday. Everybody's on extra rest because of these days off. But, yeah, I mean, just got to win tomorrow.
That's it.
Can't play today, though. Nothing they can do today. Going to hang out. Hang out and hope a tree doesn't fall on your house.
That's the most important thing, Buck.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Trillville Thursday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Game.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, Sunday felt like game seven.
Wow.
If you want to know the truth, in Miami. I mean, and so I think every day is going to be game seven, quite honestly. And you know, I told somebody, you know, we get in this thing, and when we're playing a week from today, you know, these guys are going to be, we're going to be pretty, it's going to, that went through a lot. So yeah, I mean, within reason, it is. It's there. We got six game sevens right now till somebody tells us we're in this thing.
He's talking about it the right way. That was Tuesday, talking about playing next Tuesday. You know what next Tuesday is?
Playoffs.
You got to have that playoff mentality. Obviously, the Braves didn't play last night. Game got rained out. Not going to play tonight. Game's already pre-rained out. So it'll be a doubleheader on Monday. There's an outside chance there's a doubleheader on Saturday, too, if the rain kind of sticks around on Friday. Now, they say it'll probably break midday and be fine by Friday night, which is good, but that'd be crazy. You play five games in Saturdays in 3 days. Nobody wants that.
No, but you got to empty it out, Andy. You got to.
That's what I always say.
That's what I always say. You got to empty it out, brother.
Drain it out.
But, I mean. We mentioned this earlier this week. This is before we even Brian Snicker went on with staking them. Like, all these games are playoff games.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You got to play them all like they're elimination
exactly
games.
Exactly right. Because they are.
Because they basically are.
Really are. You lose the wrong one and you're out.
You're done.
Just because of how tight it is. You're outside looking in right now. Obviously, you have two games against the Mets, so you're behind. But, I mean, if you fall too far behind them before you play them, it won't even matter.
It won't even matter. Yeah. So it'd be one of the saddest doubleheaders ever. Or
like, I don't even think they would do it.
Y'all are done. Y'all want to play?
We're not good.
I'm good.
There's a chance only one of the games gets played on Monday.
Yep.
There's a chance neither of them get played.
Yeah.
It's a chance. Now, I don't know that the Braves would. They'd be like, come on, let us have one. People are still going to buy hot dogs and beers.
Yeah.
Like, let them get in here.
And they can cheer for the guys. I don't want no farewell. You know, this is a farewell game for y'all. We appreciate everybody coming out this year.
No, we don't want that.
No. Just leave me at home. Just leave me the hell at home, man. I ain't coming out there for no farewell. I
the good thing
go
is
home.
Monday you'll know exactly the scenario because everyone else in baseball will be done playing.
Right.
What you do on Sunday against the Royals and all the listeners that we're going to have in the building who called in and won those tickets last week, when that game's said and done, you'll know exactly what needs to happen on Monday in order for your whatever you need to win both of them, or you need to split it, or whatever it is, or what the seeding is going to be. It'll kind of be cool to be standalone. Also, doubleheader between the Braves and the Mets, and no one else is playing.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
like that's the whole baseball world is going to be paying attention to you.
I mean, it's going to be awesome. Now, you don't want to have it. I mean, I don't want to have to play on it, but it's no choice.
Right.
But it's going to be awesome. It's going to start, I think, first game, 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have an opportunity to, I mean, control your own destiny. You know, because if you're at that point where you win and you're in, you don't need the help from anybody like that. You beat the Nets, and then you're in the playoffs.
It really does
That's
set up for
freaking
such
awesome.
A fun thing.
That's awesome,
like,
man.
I kind of hope the Diamondbacks handle their business this weekend so it's an elimination doubleheader.
Right.
Like, whoever doesn't win it goes home.
Yeah.
It would be so satisfying to do that to them.
Oh, yeah. Just
especially this year.
And vice versa,
sure,
too.
Sure, for sure. For them, too. I'm sure they would love to do that. The Braves have been beating the Mets for 30 years.
Yes.
Why would it change now? You know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you
Even
mean.
Even in a year where the Braves have been so decimated by injuries, they're still right here.
They're right here, man. Without their without some of their top dogs, and I mean, I think, and you're under your, you said this that their best player will probably back.
They probably will.
They're probably back for this stretch run or whatever. But the advantage is in the Braves' hand because of the fact that the Mets did leave, and then they do have to come back for this Monday game. And the biggest thing with the Braves need to do, they need to make them come back. You know, they need to make the Mets back to Atlanta.
Don't
trick off against Kansas City in those games. It don't matter what goes on.
They get swept by the Royals.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, never mind.
Well, damn.
Don't do that.
Well, damn.
Don't do that. All right, here's Raheem Morris. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. Really good conversation, as they all always are. But he was real honest about what happened with the Chiefs and looking ahead to the Saints. If you missed it, check it out on the website. But here he is talking about their defense on third down.
Oh, the first couple of games, got some tough sacks. Got a couple hits in this game. Got 8 of them. They had 13. I think they had 2 sacks or 1 sack. I'm not sure. But we definitely got to get home so we can create some of these longer third downs or get off the field.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Different year, same story.
Yep.
Falcons are second to last in the NFL in sacks through 3 weeks.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah.
It's all,
I told you I'm giving up on my second.
Yeah, man. But because it's all about the quarterback, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the quarterback. It's you got to protect him and you got to affect him. And they have not done a good job of either one. Now Kurt hasn't taken a lot of sacks, but like Ryan said, he's been getting hit a lot. And I think that, you know, because when you're in longer downs, it's easier, but you kind of have a sense where I can just go get the quarterback. But where they're in a second and 5 or third and 4,
right,
that leaves the playbook open all the whole time for this offense to be able to run the football. The Falcons defense has got to get them in more of those things, and the Falcons offense has got to stay out of them.
Yeah, we were hopeful that at the beginning of the year, you know, this Falcons offense with the upgrades that they made, certainly at the quarterback position and all of that, get some leads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get some leads and make the other team have to be in passing situations. That has not happened.
No, man.
That has not happened through 3 weeks.
And it's still because they're ill, they're still in this process of figuring out what this quarterback can and can't do right now physically. And I think it's going to take time to build that rhythm. Now, the thing with the time is the season's already started. You know, the season has started, Buck, and these losses, they count. They count towards the overall record. And so you've got to figure it out on a hurry, and Zach Robinson's got to – I mean, one thing they got to do, they got to run more freaking plays. All right? They got to possess the ball more, man. I mean, you're losing, in most cases, 10 minutes of possession or maybe say 7 more minutes of time. You got to possess the football.
Who would you lay that blame on more? Is that the defense's inability to get off the field on third down so far, or is that the offense's inability to stay on the field?
Offense's ability to stay on.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, 6 of 27.
And you're right.
That is awful.
It's third worst in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
On
those,
third down.
If you say, for instance, say that 6 is 12. I mean, that's 6 more possessions that you've had this season,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so who knows what goes on in those possessions. So I'm going to put it on the offense to stay on rhythm, to be able to have good first down plays and get manageable where you can run pass, play action pass, mm-hmm. and let Kurt do what he does best.
Do you know how many sacks the Vikings have?
Like 13?
16.
Okay.
16. Do you know how many sacks the Falcons have?
3.
3.
Yep. And I know the team they got coming in got, 12? I think 12
or 11. Scroll back up.
11, 12, something like that.
11.
11 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean,
11.
They got a good, I mean, Matt Bougeron, why do I want to call him Bougeron?
Judon.
He can't do it by himself.
No, he can't.
Where's these other guys? Where's this Arnold Lebacati guy?
Great question.
Where's the dog at?
Where is he?
Where are they at?
Where are they?
Where's his pass rush at?
I know.
Right?
I know.
Because he was supposed to come in and these guys were supposed to be better.
They were.
Does Arnold Lebacati have a pressure?
I think he got a pressure on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I think I heard his name on Sunday. But yeah, man, like.
You got a pass rush, dog.
That part of it was supposed to improve. And because of the fourth down play calls and the quarterback and all of the, you know, there's stuff that's easier to talk about that's going to be talked about. That sort of flown under the radar a little bit, but it's the same problem.
Yeah.
They can't get the quarterback
on the ground.
They haven't been able to get the quarterback on the ground.
Get the quarterback on the ground.
Hopefully that changes on Sunday.
No, I know I saw a lot of guys for the Saints, some of the big dudes didn't practice. Not saying they're not going to play.
Kamara didn't practice.
I saw that Derek Carr popped up on the injury with the groin.
Yeah.
So there's a couple other dudes that are on, you know, I'm not saying they probably won't play, but it's something to monitor.
Something to look at.
They were in, and Arch said it. Was it Arch? I think Arch might have said it. Or how physical that damn football game was against Philadelphia.
He talked about it. Yeah,
I mean, it was a we call it a slobber knocker.
It was.
That's what it was.
It was a great
physical,
really was.
Old school football game where the game was decided in the trenches.
Because the Eagles hadn't really been playing defense like that yet either,
right.
And they showed up against the Saints, and then the Saints' defense is rough. Obviously, so much focus on what their offense has done, but they're tough, man, and they both played really well in that game. What was it 15-12 or something like that?
Yeah.
Super low scoring game. They had the Falcons Chiefs game on NFL Network last night.
Mm-hmm.
Braves weren't on; there wasn't really anything on,
mm-hmm.
so I watched a bit of it. I really hope that Caleb McGarry can play on Sunday because they really took advantage of Storm Norton.
Yeah.
in that second half.
But you looked at what Spags did. Spags was like, okay, they got two of their star linemen. Let's go.
They lit them up.
Yeah, let go.
It was, I mean, and again, I know they're bringing heat from that side and all that, but man, it was rough.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Plays. Yeah.
That guy, you know, Storm didn't get any reps
in
practice?
No, he didn't. He got some reps on Sunday.
He got mental reps.
It didn't
go good. Every practice rep.
I'm just saying, careful what you wish for, because I know.
Oh yeah,
McGarry got crapped on, rightfully so, for the way that he played against TJ. There's a reason why he's the starter.
Yes,
there's a reason why he's the guy that's out there. Kirk also missed quite a few throws in the second half.
He wasn't. He was not on.
It was just obviously the Pitts one could have been higher. There was a throw to London where Drake had the guy beat and he underthrew him. There was a play on fourth down where he didn't make a good throw to him. Another thing that Kirk was doing, he did it twice in a row. Pocket just collapsed on him, and he just kind of dumped it in the middle of the scrum.
Yeah.
Let's be a little more careful than that, because both of those passes very easily could have been interceptions.
Yeah,
one of them he threw right at Bijan, who was on the ground, and finally hit the ground. The second one he threw in the middle of the offensive line, hit the guy in the helmet.
It popped up.
Popped up in the air. Yeah. Like, let's throw it away.
Yeah.
Let's get it out of
there. He's still working on his timing, and again, the unfortunate part about it is that these games count. You know, and you're learning, and you're learning, and you're progressing through all the things with your new receivers, your new play caller, all these things. What worked, what doesn't work, and you know what they actually need right now? They need a damn bye week. They need a damn bye week after this week, so they can figure some, start getting some more stuff done.
We're 4 weeks in, and we're like, these guys need a break.
No, I'm not saying they need a break from the physicality of it. They need to get some more stuff going.
They
man.
Need the weather need to affect them.
Yeah, they need to get some more stuff going.
The Braves got 2 days off. Maybe the Falcons can get a couple days off
because it's not anywhere where it needs to be.
I know
that you hear people talk about, well, the Falcons are they're this close. They hung in there. All these different things. I just don't see it.
I'm so tempted to say it.
I just don't see it yet.
I'm not going to say it.
I don't see it.
Should
yet.
I say it?
What's that?
You know they have preseason.
Oh, I mean, you say that. I'm not going to say
you
that.
You know they have those games.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to. I'm definitely
three of them.
Definitely not going to go there.
Three games.
But no,
they could have done some of that
They just got to, you know, because right now they're in their own way right now. Now, other teams they played were good, TJ Watt and all those things, but these are games they should have, could have still won if you just made a play, if you had a better call, if your quarterback did this, if your defense was able to do this, if your play caller went over there and absolutely gave your right tackle some help.
Yep.
All the three of these, well, they won one of them, but the two they lost, they were right there.
Yeah.
And it's a missed block by Tyler Algiers, maybe, or Raheem not taking the points.
Yeah. No, the two they lost were just as winnable as the one they won. And the one they won was just as losable as the two they lost.
Yes.
I mean, it's all been razor thin through 3 weeks. I mean, 1-2 is okay as long as you beat the Saints on Sunday. 2-2 through the first four, and then maybe you can start getting some of this cleaned up like talked about. But you got to get it cleaned up before Sunday because the Saints are a pretty good football team. Week four starts tonight.
Yes.
Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cowboys at Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, would it be hilarious. If Daniel Jones sent the Cowboys to 1-3, I'll be honest with you, that would really make me happy.
I'd
like that.
I mean, the Cowboys are in a disarray because one, they do too much talking. Two, they can't stop the run to save their life.
That would be one.
They
for
cannot
me.
Stop the run, and I don't. And it's one thing about it. You say scheme. You don't have the players.
Mm-mm.
You just don't have the players right there, and you can only do so much. But Micah, do you just move Micah to a permanent off the ball guy? Then you take away the pass rush element.
One of the main best things. He
I
does.
Mean, there's so much going on down there, and Singletary can run the ball. He ran the ball really well in Cleveland.
Devin Singletary's off to a nice start.
Yes, he ran the ball.
One thing Daniel Jones can do
is
run the ball a little bit.
He can run
the ball. Malik Nabers is awesome.
You're going to put Diggs on. Well, I wonder how Zim plays this. Does he just let Diggs go one-on-one with the young boy?
I don't know.
That's what I would do.
I don't know.
Man, if I'm Zim, I'm manning up these corners. I'm going to put my highest-paid corner on their number one receiver.
He's a rookie.
And
don't
I'm
lock
and
him
I'm
down.
Try to, I'm putting eight in the damn box.
Yeah.
And I'm putting eight in the box.
That's their best bet.
Yes, that's their best.
That's their best bet. Yeah. All right, hey, we'll come back. We didn't get to it in what's trending. Obviously, the biggest college football game of the weekend between Georgia and Alabama. We got a little Kirby audio for you. And we'll get deeper into that football game coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Georgia ones are going to play Alabama on Saturday night. I'm at sort of a crossroads here because usually games like this that are big, like there's big games every weekend. This one's bigger than most.
Yes.
Like the X's and O's are more interesting than the storylines, or the storylines are more interesting than the X's and O's. This game is equal.
Yeah.
Like the narratives leading into this game are incredible.
Yeah.
Like the Georgia-Alabama new coach, Kirby's got to beat Bama, hasn't done it, like so much going into it. But then trying to figure out what the game's going to look like and who's going to do what, who's going to be healthy is a big part of it. But like, it's not very often that a game's like the breakdown of the actual on-field stuff is just as interesting as the off-field stuff, but this game has all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest game, could possibly be the biggest game of the season. You know, when you talk about Alabama, Georgia, because most time when they're playing is either an SECM championship game or it's in the – well, recently anyways – or it's in the national championship game.
Five of the last six times they've played, it's been for a trophy.
Yeah. And
either
so,
the SEC
I mean,
or the national championship.
Yeah, and so I saw that Georgia's favored by two. If Bama wins, it's not an upset, in my opinion.
No, they're at home and they're a very, very good
football team. And Georgia, to me, has not played their best ball yet.
No.
They played a good half, but their best ball from beginning to end, they have not done it. And it's important for them to do it this game. It's important for them to get off to a great start offensively. It really, really is. It's good for – and defensively, they cannot give up the big play. They cannot give up the big play. If they can limit the big play ability from Alabama, they got a good shot. But it's all about this offense. Carson Beck in the offense has got to get it going from the get-go.
Yeah, they're going to have to find ways to make big plays as well. As much as I feel like both offenses might need to be able to sustain drives because of how good these defenses are and the way this game might go on Saturday night, the team that wins is going to be the team that has more explosive plays.
Yes.
Here's Kirby Smart talking about Alabama's ability to do that.
They've got explosive plays that are off-schedule explosive plays, and they've got on-schedule explosive plays. So when you have a chance at both those, it just increases your opportunity. And their explosives are super explosive. They're not talking about the 15-20 variety. They're talking about the 50-60-70 variety. They've got some really good skilled players out on the perimeter that are explosive. They got a quarterback that defines explosive, and they got good backs. So our job is to try to prevent those, not give up big plays. And a lot of that starts with how well we play around the quarterback.
That'll be the one of the keys to the, like, to me, just as important as turnovers, unless one team just coughs it up a ton.
Because
I don't think either team's going to turn it over a lot. Like, whoever wins the turnover battle, sure. But whoever has more explosive plays on offense is very likely to win this game. Yeah. Alabama's got five plays this year of over 50 yards. Mm-hmm. Georgia has zero.
Mm-hmm.
They just have not looked explosive yet often. Not to say they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got guys. I think the one guy that I'm looking at, beyond the quarterback, obviously, is a guy who's come up with plays like this in big games before. That's Arian Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had big games in big games,
but he's made big plays
in big games. You go back to the Tennessee game a couple years ago, the Ohio State game in the playoff, the national championship game against TCU. Like, he's broken off like 60, 70-yard touchdowns.
He has that kind of speed.
He's got to do that because he's like the guy as far as speed goes on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing about it is that who is the guy? Who's the guy on offense?
Who's the guy?
Who's the guy?
He's the speed guy.
I don't know who the guy is. The guy that's got to play his ass off is number 15.
It is.
Number 15, they got to protect him up front. Like I said, we talked about yesterday, you're without Tate. But they got to protect him, and he's got to deliver. He's got to deliver the ball. He's got to put it in places where only his guys can catch it. And they got to go because the last time these two teams played in the SEC championship game, Georgia played so awful and lost by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can click and get it all going together, that's going to be the biggest thing.
When you think back to how some of that went and how stagnant the Georgia offense was in that game, unfortunately, there's similarities to this one, which is now they're not here.
Brock Bowers.
But they kind of weren't.
Brock Bowers,
right?
Bowers was banged up. Glad was banged up.
Rara Thomas didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
None of those guys are on the team this year. So, like, it's not that Georgia offense that last year was one of the five best offenses in the country. That wasn't really the Georgia offense that played Alabama in that game. Now, I'm not making excuses.
Correct.
I'm just saying, like, that's a parallel for Saturday. Because those guys aren't here now either, and they haven't found suitable replacements for them yet either. So that's the part of it that's hard.
Yeah, and so that's why you look at it from a standpoint, who's going to step up? Now, this Alabama team, because this quarterback, I mean, he has an opportunity to put himself in the first round if he plays well in this game. Because the one thing about Georgia's defense is Georgia's defense. It is very, very, very good. It is very good. And he's a very good player who has gotten better and better and better under Kalen DeBoer. In this moment, right, we talked about when Kalen took the job. He's qualified to take it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I know Nick Saban was there forever, but this man can coach some damn ball.
And
there's no empty cupboard. Like, he was coming into a great situation that – first-year head coach can win a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, he inherited a situation that basically no one's ever inherited.
Yes.
Like, there's been good situations, but, like,
nothing like that.
Nothing quite like this. And then also, he also came from a thing that no coaches often leave. Like, he was in the national championship game last year, and he takes over a fully stocked
Alabama team.
Juggernaut.
Like, dynasty.
It's a great thing. Now, but that's a big part of the storyline and a big part of the narrative on Saturday is if Alabama wins this game, that validates the Kalen DeBoer hire.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, I don't think anyone would expect it to be validated to that level this quickly.
So you're saying if they lose, it's not validated?
I think it still can be. It still can be. But, like, if they win this game on Saturday and keep Georgia, because that's the only thing Georgia hasn't done is beat Alabama in the Kirby era.
We beat them once. And we beat them in the most important game ever.
Well, there was another game you didn't.
I'm talking about the win. We won.
But 1-5 against them.
Yes.
And probably would have 4 national championships right now had those games gone differently, right? Because one of them was a national championship. And then last year in the SEC championship game, if Georgia wins that game, they probably win the national championship as well. So, what Kirby's done is incredible.
Right.
But the one thing Kirby hasn't done.
He has not beat Alabama.
Alabama's still big brother to him.
Yeah. Remember when I said that? Is it Saban or
Alabama?
And I remember I said that. I was like, they're still our daddies. And they're like, what?
But is Saban?
But is Saban? That's the thing about it.
Or is Alabama?
Because there was nothing that I know Nick and he loved beating Kirby.
His
last win against Kirby.
Of course, because Kirby's the heir apparent.
Yes.
Kirby's the next great, and he had won back to back. But last thing Saban did was beat him one last time.
Beat him one last damn time.
Yeah, you got a great program.
That.
5-1 against you.
Take that.
5-1.
Yep. Take that.
You know what I mean?
Take that.
So that's a part of it too. Is for Kirby. Is it Nick Saban that he couldn't beat consistently, or is it Alabama?
Yep.
Because if Alabama wins, then it's Alabama. Then he's 1-6 against Alabama. If he beats DeBoer and he beats Alabama, he's 1-0 against DeBoer, and maybe now Georgia is fully officially beyond and all that kind of stuff over Alabama. But I think that's part of it too. Like, there's so much intrigue as far as the outcome of the game goes. Like, obviously, winning it sends you on a path to the college football playoff and a national championship, which is the most important thing.
Right.
The loser of this game probably is still going to the playoff and still could win the national championship. Now, to me, that doesn't take anything away from the importance of the game.
Because it's an important-ass game.
Of course it is.
Yes.
It's Alabama and Georgia. They're 2-4, like, in the country, that is. Like, they're both undefeated. Like, I don't know. They don't play that much.
Mm-hmm.
When these two teams play, it's always for something.
Yes.
This is when's the last time they played in the regular season?
They played I think it was Tua. I know they went down to Alabama. It got smoked.
It was a COVID year, right?
Was it?
I think it was 2020.
All I remember it was teetering, and then Jalen Waddle or somebody got loose.
Pretty sure.
It was a wrap.
I think Georgia might have even been up at halftime.
All I remember, somebody, it was Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones was a quarterback.
I think it was 24-14 or something like that at halftime. Then it was 38-24.
Yeah, then somebody fell in the secondary.
Yeah, and that was that.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop running.
That was that.
They did not stop running.
They got the availability report. Obviously, we know who's out. London Humphreys and Tate Ratledge. Mykael Williams, Sakovi White, Jordan Hall, all questionable.
Okay, well, they're not playing.
And then Warren Brinson, probable.